Hey there, listener. Do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster. You just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with your friends, have an urge to share your passion with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Dope Black Woman Podcast. I'm Leanne, and today we have the dream team here with us. That was Roper. That wasn't a bird in the background.
Although there are loads of birds, donkeys.
There's also
sheep behind us.
Roshan, tell them why they can hear birds chirping in the background and donkeys and sheep.
So we partnered with Airbnb for a special trip to reconnect. And be in a new space that we might not always be in. Mm-hmm. And we're in the countryside right now. Mm-hmm. Was that a country accent? I don't know.
But
a little bit. We're in the countryside right now and we have a beautiful view.
Stunning.
That you can't see. But if I was to describe it, it's like...
Gone.
The Caribbean.
That was extreme. Nothing like the Caribbean.
That was so extreme.
It's the Caribbean meets the UK.
What, the sun? It's just the sun.
The sun, the vibes. I can see palm trees.
There's palm trees.
We're on a really high hill.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful scenic.
Catching all the views.
We'll post a picture online so people can see it when this goes live.
Mm-hmm. And the property itself is amazing, right?
Like stunning. Absolutely stunning.
What's been your favourite part of the house itself, like the property? Roper?
The panoramic windows.
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, incredible. Like, I get why they don't have blinds. There's no blinds here. Like, zero blinds.
It's just darkness
just
at night
views.
Time.
Just views. Straight views. And the heated floors.
That is, I think the kitchen is probably my favorite part.
Yeah, mine was gonna be the island.
Yeah,
because the island is so big that we can all literally just chill, make cocktails, have space.
Just vibes.
The island with the views.
Yeah,
and the inbuilt speakers.
Yep.
Okay, that's the top three.
Top three.
Island highlights. Inbuilt
speakers. And the beds are so comfortable. The goose down feather duvets. Mm-hmm. Well, Shan hasn't been sleeping very well since she's been here.
Sorry.
I feel like there's a lot going on. If it wasn't going on, I'm sure I'd still appreciate the beds like everybody else.
Yeah, no. And my room has a little balcony, so I get the views, the little sunrise, sunsets.
Little sun lounger on there.
Sun loungers on there. Just catching all the vibes. No, it's been a great trip.
Yeah, it has been. And it's been nice to reconnect. So most people don't know who the Dream Team is. I think that's our little internal nickname.
Mm-hmm. The Dream Team's the name of our group chat.
Yeah. So the Dream Team consists of myself and Roshan, who are both co-founders, as most of you probably already know. And then the third and final member of the Dream Team is Ropo.
Okay, guys, where's my chairs?
Oh, introduce yourself. Sorry.
I was waiting for Leanne to give
Sorry. Let's do it again. And the final special, sensational
More.
Person on the team is Ropo. I'm not going to speak until you introduce me.
Guys, I need a proper introduction with the proper titles. Thanks.
Rafa, talk to us about you.
Guys, I am the PR lead?
Yes.
PR sponsorship lead for Dope Black Women. Been at this for a minute.
You've been here from basically the beginning.
Beginning, pretty much.
Doing up social media. That was fun. Back in the days.
She was our social content babes, and now she's fully fledged member of the team. She's got the tattoo to prove it. It's on her left bum.
DBW.
Guys, should we get DBW tattoos?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
I don't even have one tattoo, and I'm gonna have DBW.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. That was actually
dedication,
first one.
Commitment.
Yeah.
On so much you love us,
on the 20th anniversary.
So let's buy this out for 20 years. Let's see if it sticks.
On the 20th anniversary, I'll get a little D somewhere.
You're not serious.
It's like those women who have been waiting on their man to marry them for like 10 years and they're just waiting and waiting and you're just going to wait until 20 years to make it real.
I don't have a tattoo. In 20 years' time, I feel like it's time for me to get a tattoo.
No, I think it's about time right now.
Right now,
how old did you be? 46?
Exactly.
45.
Babes. Some people think I have a midlife crisis.
Yeah, that'll be the crisis.
No. Just do it now. Avoid the crisis. We don't need no crisis. Let's not do that.
All right, let's do three fun facts with Ropa so that our audience can get to know her because they'll get to know a lot more of her over the next couple of months.
This fun facts business. Guys, my life's not fun, you know. I have many interesting things.
No, let's actually say two things that we've learned about Ropa this weekend. Because this weekend has been about us connecting as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've been doing lots of activities together, which we'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. But Shan, what have you learned about Ropa that you didn't know before?
This episode should be called Let's Meet Ropa.
I think that's appropriate.
Because it's actually the most we spent time together as a team in real life. Because a lot 100%. Of it's been virtual. Before when we was all in the UK and it wasn't COVID, it was still virtual.
Yeah.
But my two things that I've learned about Ropa. Oh, I know what the first one is, but how do you phrase it again?
Be nice.
She has a... No, it's nice. She has an extremely...
Oh, yes.
Good sense of judgment. Is it judgment? Direction. No, what is it? Of direction.
Yeah.
Like, me and Ropa went to town to get some fish, which was very expensive. But
that's a different story for another day.
And we were just driving there with vibes. The sun was shining. The air was...
It's a good time, guys.
Was clear. It was clean. And on the way back, I'm like, bro, how are we going to get back? And Ropa got us there and back. We've only been to this area once, as in this time, and she got us there and back smoothly. So her sense of direction is top tier. And then another thing I've learned about Ropa. I'm
trying to find a nice thing to say, innit?
No, not a nice thing. There's lots of things that are nice. What's podcast appropriate? She's good at making cocktails.
Okay. That's a good one. Okay, yeah. I'll take that. Bartender. Put that on my CV.
I don't even like cocktails, and the cocktails were good.
There we go. That's it, Sam.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so two things I've learned about Ropa this weekend. The first thing is that she is an immaculate, clean person. Like, immaculately clean. Every time we've made dinner or done something, she's always like taking the broom out immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that borders on OCD, but it's great if you ever want to live with Ropa. You'll never live in a messy house.
No, but I'll probably drive you insane because I'll be looking at you like, why is that there? But yeah.
And the second thing is that she's mad spontaneous and like down. So yesterday we were all like lazing around the house, not doing very much. After we failed miserably at trying to set up a hot tub.
Don't even say that again, please. I'll start crying now.
Shan brought a hot tub by a black-owned business.
Yes.
To set up
during
our Airbnb trip. And I guess we were unsuccessful because it kept deflating and the water just didn't get hot.
Guys, how many black women does it take to set up a hot tub? Clearly more than three.
But she was like, you know what, guys? It's okay. We're going to go for a walk. We're going to go on a hike.
It was a nice one.
We got ice cream. We met some donkeys, people in town. It was actually, and it so it cute. made the rest of the trip, even though we weren't able to be luxurious.
At that point, I'm not going to lie, I was feeling a bit deflated.
Really?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go in the jacuzzi.
Same. With some champagne.
Yeah,
and
that would have been a vibe. But then there's more opportunities.
Yeah, I was like, Rashan, she's like, Leanne kept saying that as well. She's like, she's like, what are we gonna do, guys? Should we make an executive decision?
Okay, I have no solution.
But even if we didn't have the hot tub,
yeah,
I mean, we really did want to have it. I feel like it's still been a really good,
definitely amazing. Yeah, it's been a nice time to just like wind down and just chill out,
relax,
take in nature. It's been nice to wake up to birds.
Yeah.
Chirping. Yeah. I didn't think I'd like that, you know.
No, it's nice.
Because it's actually very loud here.
It is. But like, it's nature loud, not noise pollution, traffic loud.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Not like your neighbors arguing loud.
I don't know about that. My neighbors don't have domestics like that.
I don't hear my neighbors at all. FYI, Rope and I actually live in the same development.
Yeah.
Very yeah. randomly. And I don't hear my neighbors at all.
Not at all. Literally.
So I only have one neighbor that I hear. It's because their balcony is like adjacent to my bedroom window.
Okay.
And my bedroom window is always open.
Right. And they're just all hearing all the domestics.
Okay, so Ropa, you have to tell us two things that you've learned about us. Okay. Shan and I.
Let me dig something nice. I'm joking. I feel like I knew this anyway, but like, we'll start Leanne. Because I need to...
You need time for Shan.
I need time to collect. I think I knew this anyway, but I had never experienced it. You're really extremely a sensational cook.
Oh, thank you.
Like, no, it's ridiculous. Like, restaurant quality food.
That is
something I'm like, okay, I knew. But you know, it's different when you experience it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last time we had an in-person meeting, you didn't eat.
Yeah. So that has been a blessing. That has been the highlight.
While you're on that note, Leanne's going to be bringing us back the recipes that we used to always do on our page.
Yes.
In real form. So look out for that.
Yes, yeah.
A little young plug.
Yeah. Another thing. What's another thing? It's going to sound like I'm copying what you said, but you are also extremely down just to do whatever. Like, yeah, you're very much like, we're doing this. Okay, cool, let's do it. We're going to play this game. Let's do it. We're going on a walk. Let's do it. Just vibes. I like people like that. Just down for whatever. Shan.
I don't like this girl.
These two have, like, a very Thelma and Louise type relationship. It's very... It's very what? Loving, but it's Conjurer. Also very Mama. Dangerous.
Shan.
I always say to Oprah, you're like my little sister.
And no, I was literally about to say that.
This trip has just defined it. Literally, I was just saying it off of vibes.
No, legit, like big sister, teasing, gonna make fun of you, yeah. But like it's all love.
You in a headlock, virtually.
Yeah, don't do that.
Not my edges, girl.
Not my edges, guys. Not my edges. By the way, side note, my edges has been intact this entire trip.
The entire
yeah.
trip?
I have not...
You haven't redone it?
No, just put my wow. headscarf on.
Wow, what gel do you use?
Got to be gel, the clear one though.
Ooh, I've been using the one that you have, the green...
Eco Styler. It makes my hair curly normally.
Yeah, it makes it curly and it gives like a white... if you use too much of it, it gives a white flaky.
That's why my thing has this on it right now, the flaky to go.
I'm going to try Got to be.
Yeah, try the clear one, the black one.
Okay.
Got sidetracked. Yeah, but that kind of banter, you bought the banter, you bought the vibes.
Thanks, babes.
And number two.
And number two, oh jeez.
Hope is very rude, and that's what we need to take away from this episode, okay?
No, it's because there's so much great stuff. I'm trying to filter through all the greatness. but then this has always been a thing. You're also very, very encouraging.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah,
that's
true. In your own special way.
Oh, I think we've had a few deep chats into
this. We've had a lot of like very introspective live conversations.
And I think I learned a lot from both of you about your families.
Yeah, that's
And I think it's not that it's important for me to know about my friend's family's business. But I think
all the tea, all the juice.
What I was gonna say, this sounds very mad. Yeah. But I think seeing you talk to someone about their family helps you to understand them
as a person. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. It's and like, I feel like the same way, like vice versa.
Yeah. That's why I was asking you questions this morning. I'm like, Leanne.
tell me more.
So yesterday you said this, but can I just ask you?
No, it's so true. When you learn about people's families and their upbringing and the things that they experience, it gives you insight as to how they are. And even in terms of, because we've had a lot of conversations this weekend about friendships, right?
Yeah.
About the issues that we have with our friends or the type of friends that we need. And we're all people that need space away from others in order to recharge and have our own private time and that kind of thing. And so it's interesting to know how we navigate our friendship based on what we know about our friendships that we have with other people.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's a good question, actually. What's the biggest, like, lesson that you've learned or thing that you will continue to incorporate into your own space based on the conversations that we've had this weekend?
I think boundaries.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing, like, just learning how to set your boundaries in the proper way rather than I think people, well, let me speak for myself. I can just be a person that, like, once I feel like my boundaries have been crossed, I just shut down and I become reclusive. But then there's never really that communication with the other person.
To give them a chance.
Yeah, to give them a chance to understand the reason as to why I've withdrawn.
Yeah.
Mm. But then hearing you guys is like stories and examples, it's been like, okay, cool, maybe like I do my part by communicating that to the other person. What they do with that information is their own business. But I've done my part about communicating that my boundaries have been crossed, or this is my boundaries. Then that it's okay then for me to kind of move away.
And I think when you do it that way, personally for me, when I operate that way, it allows me to feel, have a greater sense of discernment. I've made the right decision to then cut myself off from that person, or remove myself, or change the dynamic of our relationship. Because I know I've actually given them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But don't you just remove it?
Yeah.
I overthink a lot, as you already know. Yeah. Especially for this weekend. But when you remove it, it's, I'll be thinking like, oh, should I go back?
Yeah.
Did I do the right thing? Did I blah, 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 blah? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I think my lesson is that it's almost the opposite. Not exactly the same thing, but it's been really interesting because I think all three of us are very different. Mm-hmm. We're all different. We all come from different places, different backgrounds. We all... are, well, we're different ages in some sense, but we all accept each other in the space that we are all in, and are very welcoming of that. And I think that's also nice, just to know that actually the type of people that you need in your life aren't people who are similar to you, or aren't people that have the same morals and values necessarily, but people that are willing to just accept you for who you are and meet you where you are, which is very difficult to do sometimes. Because I remember Shat and you were talking about, oh, I think we were having a conversation about fathers and, like, you know, not knowing. I think all of us did grew up with not having fathers that were very communicative. And now that we're older, we're learning so much about our dads. But also accepting that actually this was who they were in back in the day, and they couldn't have done better than they did at the time. And just that idea of acceptance is, I think, probably the biggest takeaway from me, and it's something that I'll try to apply to my friendships and just like people that I meet moving forward.
Yeah,
I think right now, the last like 2 weeks, I've been in my head a lot.
Yeah,
I get into my head a lot with friendships, and I get into my head a lot just day to day. So for example, yesterday,
it was a madness situation.
It was a very madness situation to do with a guy. I called my, I was messaging my friend as I wasn't here about it. And then I said, let me ask Roper her opinion. Because Roper was there. And I asked Roper, and she agreed with my friend. If I hadn't asked you and I was at home,
you'd have oversat then.
I might have listened to what my friend said and still took her advice, but I still would have believed in what I was thinking and feeling. But because you didn't know what my friend said, you're coming from an objective standpoint. And I, when I listened to you both speak, I was like, I actually see that I am just overthinking in this position.
Yeah.
But I also was able to see that in a bigger picture, you can almost overthink to your detriment at times. And I don't know if I've ever done that before, but I'm definitely at an extreme high risk of doing it. I just feel like I need to get to that point where I can like rationalize my thoughts more to be able to just calm down my, and trust my inner judgment. Thoughts.
Like, I think it's a thing of where you know exactly what it is, but because there's that doubt that's like, or maybe I'm wrong, or maybe maybe I'm taking this the wrong way, or maybe I'm taking this other way. Just trust your own judgment.
I think I naturally overanalyze things. Like, even in my, because my job is to be a journalist, I naturally overanalyze, I naturally ask questions. And for the most part, that's not to my detriment. For the most part, that's an advantage.
It's like a thirst for knowledge.
For the most part, it's great.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you're overthinking, there's nothing to overthink.
Yeah.
It's actually black and white, and I'm trying to find the grey.
Yeah.
That's when it, I think it's an issue. Yeah. And I think, so I'm reading this book, which we're going to do a giveaway of the book, actually, on the page, called You've Got This by Dr. Michaela Dunbar. And there's a whole chapter on overthinking.
Ooh.
And when I read it, I really related a lot to, like, what she was saying, the tools and stuff. And then I read that book and finished it and then came to this trip. So I felt like God would just use that as an example to be like, babes, reread that chapter.
And apply it.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's so funny. You know what I was overthinking when I came here, or when we were getting ready to come here? We're on our way here. And I was like, look at us, three black girls coming to Rye, East Sussex. I was like, we're going to get arrested. The neighbors are going to, because, you know, you always hear Airbnb stories, or you always hear stories when people, you know, rent out spaces and the police, you know, show up because the neighbors have called. But actually,
we've had a great time.
And I don't have any white friends, as we've said on the podcast before. So I don't have a frame of reference. But everybody's been really lovely.
They have. Even the lady in the shop.
you know, everyone has been so, like, helpful and really lovely and really sweet, like, really friendly. But this is not from Nottingham, this is normal.
She said London is bad vibes.
This is normal, so it's like, yeah, it's been nice.
No, but it's true. I don't know if you guys have ever hesitated in doing, like, these kind of country trips for the weekend because of that. But for me, I definitely have. Like, when my other friends say, oh, we're going to go rent out, like, you know, a cottage somewhere in the countryside, I'm always like,
yeah,
and get harassed by which white people.
Yeah,
but actually, this, I would do more of this. Like, I would definitely come back, A, to this property.
Yeah, 100%.
And B, explore more of the countryside via Airbnb.
Yeah, I don't think I ever think, maybe because I have more white friends than you. I don't think I'm gonna have like direct issues. What I think
is the passiveness for me.
Is that because a lot of people in places that are outside of London are not used to black people, things that we do that are very normal, like be loud or laugh loudly, are translated differently.
Definitely.
And it then makes me hyper aware of how I'm gonna shop in those spaces and how they're gonna receive it. To then later on maybe call the police.
But it's more,
it's less about like, are they gonna call the police, and more about how are we gonna be received. So like us being here and playing music, obviously we haven't been playing music till the roof come out.
Yeah.
But we play music loud.
Yeah.
And it's then thinking, okay, are they now gonna assume we're having a party?
Yeah.
And then call the police because they're playing music.
Yeah, actually, that's what I mean too.
We're just playing little young rhythm.
It's just normal. It's literally just three black girls chilling. Yeah. Like nothing mad is.
Because this is normal to us. Yeah, like, from my experience with my white friends, my white friends don't play, like, that's not a thing to play music loud in your house.
Really?
Not in the way that black people do it. Okay. It's ingrained
in our, like, even if you don't think about Sunday morning cleaning.
Sunday every day.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up with music all the time.
It's literally ingrained.
In my house, my mum's house, we literally have a pastor aux. My mum will play music at this time.
Yeah.
Then my stepdad, then me, my brother takes over.
Yeah.
And the kids will have one or two songs a day. And then it just becomes like a generic thing.
Yeah.
Like, to have music on loud, and the entertainment is music.
Yeah.
No one's talking. The vibe is music.
Yeah.
That's very normal in a black household. You go to your grandparents' house or whoever's house, the music's on loud. Everyone's just chilling.
It's part of it.
I don't ever go to I can say that happened at a lot of my black friends' houses. I never went to white friends' houses or non-black friends' houses. And I had that experience. They play music in their room by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But it's not a...
But it was never a thing that
united
people.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Interesting.
Which means when you hear it at a loud thing, it's like, party.
Oh, yeah. Like, for them, it's like shock to the system. They only hear it when it's party.
Yeah.
So for them, it can't be a normal thing. They can't really fathom it being just a... You're just chilling and you're listening to loud music. Why?
It's so funny because this morning... Shan was getting, I think you were like getting ready or just getting up, and she was playing soca music. Rupa was fast asleep. I was seeing at this point in time.
Tucked away.
And I was up and I was doing my work, and I was like, you know what? This is actually vibes. Like, I'm in the bed and I'm doing a little bit of work, and now I'm like jamming from side to side. But actually, somebody else might have been annoyed by that. Like, I don't know if one of your white friends would have been annoyed about it. But like, it is true. It's culture. It's a very culturally normal thing.
Yeah.
For us to do, and that's the first thing that we did when we came in, is we literally put music on.
Yeah, no, I think that was just to set. It sets the atmosphere. I think
it does.
It just set the mood, set the vibes, and then we go forward from there.
Well, it's been a lovely trip, and we are super excited to do more of these press trips.
Yes.
You'll see more of this on the page 100%. For sure. This house in particular is actually really interesting because it's very like family oriented, right? It makes it's very homely. And one of the purposes of the trip was, yes, for us to reconnect, but to reconnect in a space that was kind of eccentric or off the beaten path.
Something
that's not like...
Normal, not typical from our day-to-day.
It is very atypical from our day-to-day, right? I mean, the deck is beautiful.
The garden,
there's
guys.
Layers.
Has three levels. The garden has three levels.
Yeah.
The garden's on a hill.
It is, legit. It's a hike. It's a hike to get up the garden.
I was going
to
say, we actually went on a little bit of a hike yesterday. We went on a walk. We stopped by the waterside. We saw some donkeys and some horses.
Yes, we've seen all types of things. Like, this is not normal by any stretch of the imagination. Like, who sees a donkey? When was the last time you saw a donkey?
No, it's not who can see it. It's who can hear it from the record.
That's another thing. I woke up to donkeys this morning. Donkeys and birds.
Making up bird noise.
Nah. And then we're going to go to the beach today, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
But something I wanted to ask you, because you've spoken about friendships quite a lot, is what do you think is the best thing you bring to your friendships, and what do you think is something you can work on?
Mm. You asking us to be accountable, Shan? Jeez.
I don't like that. No. What do I bring to a listening ear? I feel like my friends can always pick up the phone if no matter what. Although my phone lives on Do Not Disturb, I'll call you back. I'll get, like, they can always, like, the first person, I know a lot of my friends, if something happens, the first person they're calling is me. So, yeah, I think that's...
How do you manage that, being a lot of people's person?
It's hard, I can't lie. Honestly, it's actually really difficult, and especially as I'm getting older. And, like, do you know, like, I think beforehand, because life wasn't life in like that, like, just... Just finishing uni, like, your uni, the biggest worry that you have is what party is happening next week.
Yeah.
Like, it was never that deep. So I was welcoming it all. Like, call me whatever, I need gist because I've got nothing else better to do. Mm-hmm. But now, as you live life in adulting and you've got bills to pay and you've got your own issues going on, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Because someone's calling you to solve your problems, but you're like, bro, I've got my own issues. What makes you think that I have time?
Yeah. You mentioned boundaries a minute ago. Yeah. I feel like that's a really... good example where you need to enforce boundaries.
100%.
Mm. I used to feel like that, and I used to feel burnt out. And I remember being at uni and going to get a counselling from the uni counsellor, and the person said, okay, talk to me about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Nothing I listed was my problems.
I was literally about to say the same thing.
And she
thing.
Said, talk to me about what's going on with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
Just put my first card.
Yeah.
And at that point, I realised, I saw her once and once only. She didn't even speak.
But it's that
at that point I realized I'm taking on so much baggage from other people.
Yeah,
I'm not feeding into myself,
and that's an issue that I find that I have. I internalize a lot of other people's issues, where it begins to weigh on me. I could literally be, my life could be good, as good as it can get, without a million
but it
in my
feels
account.
Downtrodden.
Exactly, because people have been offloading on me, and I'm carrying those burdens for them, and they're gone easy breezy. I'll talk to Roper, my life is good again. It's me, I'm carrying the weight of their issues.
And there's so many.
Yeah. So like, I'm at a point where I'm like, boundaries. Like I said before, my instinct is to just withdraw. But I'm like, no, that's not productive or conducive to building a good, strong, healthy relationship. So I need to, taking away from this trip is like setting proper healthy boundaries through conversation, through communication, where we're both on the same page.
Yeah.
Rather than just me being like, deuces, I'm out. It doesn't help.
Because it'll be better for you in the long run. Because I had a 100%. Friend and she called me the other day and she said, oh, Shan, do you have capacity for 10 minutes for me to vent about something? And it's because I've always said to her, in the reverse, I don't have capacity for X. Or if she's called me, I might be like, are you going to vent about... Because you know, like, you know your friends are always vent.
100%.
Am I going to vent about something? Yeah.
It's the tone
I have capacity for five minutes.
And then that's good.
And
then
it hits 4:59, I'm like, I have to go now.
And there's because there's respect there. You're respecting the time that I have, or you're even asking. So most of the time, it's like, quickly phone call. It's like, yeah, I'm calling you really quickly for something, but then it's turning into... Exactly. Yeah. And that's taking a lot of time away from me. And then, but then also, it's another thing where, if that's how you built your... friendships, I think that's another thing I'm beginning to learn about setting boundaries, is people begin to expect that of you. So when you remove that, like when you remove
then you're
that aspect,
an asshole.
Then I'm the idiot, I'm the asshole, I'm the evil person. But because I've set that tone,
100%.
That's what they always expect, that's what a friendship is built off. So I can't really blame the other person for not realizing, or for them being upset that I'm no longer there.
But then it also gives you a safe space, if you have 100%. That scenario, to then be like, okay, it's actually hit half an hour now, I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
Whereas when those conversations aren't had, it hits half an hour and you're thinking...
Someone's looking at you like, but what's the problem? I'm halfway through my story. But I'm like, no, yeah, I think, yeah. So, yeah, that's like something I offer. And what was the second question?
And something you can improve on.
Oh, we were just talking about this morning.
What was it?
About the way sometimes I convey messages. I'm a very, like, tough love person. Like, I will give people... like, I will just say it how it is. But then sometimes it's not always received the way that I've intended for it to be received.
Yeah.
And then we then get into a bit of, like, a... back and forth, or like a misunderstanding where someone is like, no, but Roper, like, you've offended me low-key by the way you've said what you said. But because I feel like... that's not what I wanted to convey to you. Why are you offended? But I'm just beginning to realise I need to work on speaking to people in the language that they understand and they're receptive to, rather than just assuming because it's coming from a good place for me, you must receive it that way.
Yeah, I always say that it's good to curate the message that you're sending with the person that you're talking to.
Yeah.
Because the ultimate goal is for them to get it, right?
Exactly. No, literally.
That's so true.
Yeah, so simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do that in our jobs. We do that in journalism. We do that in PR. We do that in advocacy. We curate messages to make sure that our audience receives it well. Yeah. And so we should be doing that in our personal lives as well.
100%. My mom always says, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm. My mom used to always tell me that growing up and used to piss me off.
Why?
Because she'd be like, sometimes with Shan, it's just your tone.
Yeah, I'm like, go away.
Oh, but listen to what I'm saying. Listen.
Yeah. It's the words that are coming out of my mouth. Yeah.
What's yours, Lee?
Gosh. What was the question?
When it comes to friendships, what do you think is the best thing that you offer and what's something you can work on?
So the thing that I think I'm good at in friendships is generosity, maybe. Mm. I think I'm quite giving of people. And that kind of probably goes to what you guys are speaking about in terms of pouring into other people and making time and space for them. And I think I quite... It's not completely selfish because I quite enjoy being kind to people and there is a certain sense of gratitude that I get out of, or gratification that I get out of being kind and generous and knowing that I've done good things for people.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I need to work on the most is discerning or being more critical about who gets that generosity.
Mm.
I have this tendency to just like pour unconditionally into everybody that's around me, even when I just meet them. And
at the bus stop.
A stranger.
No, it's true. If I meet somebody, I'm quite open in terms of being honest and being open with them and, and being just as kind to them as I would like my best friend of 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my aunt always says this to me. Be selfish and be understand that not everybody is worthy of your unconditional affection and time.
100%.
And that will help to preserve the energy that you have for the people that actually deserve that generosity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ties into what you was about the boundary thing you were just talking about as well.
Not everyone should have a piece of you.
Yeah.
Or have access to it and think they're entitled to it either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I got rid of my number.
Can.
Nobody can't call me.
Nobody can't text me. But that's inconvenient to you, though.
No, but it's...
No, you have WhatsApp.
A couple of weeks ago, Shan blocked everybody that she speaks to on a regular basis.
Everyone.
And she had changed her number. You had changed your number, right?
But I took my number prior to that. I took my number in like November.
But didn't tell anybody. But then also blocked everybody like a few weeks. And she didn't tell me. I think she sent me an email at some point in time.
Not an email.
I started recognizing that her phone wasn't working because she kept sending me messages on Instagram, email. But you know what? It takes a lot of like guts. And a lot of
boldness.
It's bold it's very bold to literally just cut people off and be like, actually, I need this time for me.
Mm.
And that is a huge lesson that I think most Black women can pick up on. I think most Black women don't often just say, you know what, me time. No family, no friends, no kids, no nothing. Because ultimately, and yes, you have a responsibility to your children and your family, but how useful are you to them if you're not useful to yourself?
100%.
I feel like with the situation the other day, it was less about like I wanted to switch off and more that like I had so much. I'm very self-aware. And for the first time, I felt out of control of my emotions and how I was feeling. And I didn't know what support I needed at that time. So it only made sense to switch off from everyone so that I could clear my own thoughts.
So
when I reflect on that situation, I don't think I handled it the best way because I made a lot of people worried because that's not how I would normally communicate and say, I need a week away or whatever.
Yeah.
And just set boundaries and keep my phone on and know that the people aren't going to respond because the people that I respect don't respect me back.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was like, I can't remember. I was in a very mad place. I was like, it doesn't even matter if you're scared or worried. Like, obviously, I knew that'd be a risk, and it wasn't a conscious decision. But it was like, I don't need to think
about anyone else right now in this moment, but me.
It was impossible to think about anybody else but me. Which is what I mean.
Yeah,
it was just vibes and vibes. That's it. The opposite of vibes. It was that for a while.
Yeah,
And it helped. It helped. But now I know. Okay, cool. We're not in that. At least message my mom and say to my mom X because
the fundamental people.
Everyone knows my mom.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Or at least message my mom and a friend. Where it was like I just left every WhatsApp group. I just left. Like it was just a lot. And then the time before I had my phone number, I basically when I was with my ex, he said to me, oh, he made a comment of saying that like
he doesn't like how accessible I am to people, but in terms mm-hmm. to like men. Right. And because it was my man at the time saying that about men, yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't deep it properly.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, just being jealous.
Yeah.
Because these guys are calling me and I'm not talking to them in an inappropriate way. And
these are my friends.
I'm not even entertaining the conversation too tough. But he was basically like, but there's Adam and Bob are calling from years ago. How do they still have that connection to you? But he was someone who had changed his number every year. So for me, it was already, we're completely different people. I like the fact that I can have, my number can be accessible mm-hmm. to people I haven't spoken to in years. They can call me 5 years later. Yeah. I love that.
Same.
So at the time, I didn't really deep it. But then there was a period of time I was in where I was spending my time talking to people that are whatless and mm-hmm. I don't need to talk to mm-hmm. because they had access to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my number's got to go.
Mm.
So I literally just called EE. And said I have a stalker or something like that. No, let me say the reason why I said this, because I went into EE to get my number changed and they were like, you can't get it changed. And then the manager was like, if you say you've got a stalker, and I've had one before, so I just retold that story. I wasn't lying. the police, I even had to go to the police, said, this is a real story.
I'm screaming.
I said, I have a stalker, blah, blah, blah. I got my number changed.
Yeah.
And then at that time, I also had it wasn't in the same way as that, like more recently, but there was just a lot going on. So I was like, the best way for me to deal with this actually is to take advantage of actually my number and not give it to anyone.
Yeah.
So I only gave it to my mum because she's my mum.
Yeah, of course.
And my brother, because my brother doesn't call my brother. I'm my brother's person.
Yeah.
So I can't not have him have my number because my mum and dad are both people who you'll call them and probably won't get through.
Yeah.
So I can't have my brother not have access to someone.
Especially
when I'm his person.
Yeah.
But even since then, maybe like 10 people have my number now. And like, for example, my dad doesn't even have it because my dad doesn't respect boundaries.
Yeah.
In the sense that like, my dad will call me at 7 a.m. because that's the most convenient time for him. That's not a convenient time for me.
Yeah.
So I can't give you my number because I can't trust that you'll use my number appropriately.
Yeah.
Because you haven't in the past when you had it.
Yeah.
And my auntie, for example, who's one of my, I spoke about her on this podcast a lot. I haven't given it to her because I know that she loves my dad, that she'll give my dad the number. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, so it's like
basically, my phone now is set to private.
Yeah.
If I call you, it says private number.
Yeah.
And this is not going to... I mean, by the time November hits again, my number will probably be normal.
Yeah.
But it's helped a lot because my phone is most of the time, it's inactive. Clear. No one's ringing it. The only people that ring it are people that actually...
need to speak to you.
Do you get what I mean?
And it's funny because I have, you know, mobile, I don't use it. I just WhatsApp you first.
This is my point. Yeah. Most people talk to me on WhatsApp. Mm. So therefore, why do you need to have my number?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
why?
To disturb my teeth.
Tell me why. Tell me why you need it.
When I needed to switch off the other day, all I had to do was delete WhatsApp. But actually, I couldn't delete WhatsApp because of work, so I had to block everybody.
So I'm like building my way up to you because my phone stays on Do Not Disturb. For similar reasons.
I've been on it for 4 years.
Mine's been like, it's coming up to a year, but it's just helpful for peace of mind. Like, seeing notifications on my phone genuinely gives me anxiety.
And I can't ignore them.
Yeah, same. And then, but then I'm moving away from what I'm doing this particular moment that might be necessary to my mental health or whatever I need to do just for myself and going to address issues that I don't need to be addressing.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny is that I'm almost the opposite of that, which shows how little boundaries that I actually have.
Mm.
If I turn off my phone, I'm consistently thinking, but suppose somebody's trying to get in touch with me. And my phone is always dying anyway, but I'm constantly checking my phone because I think...
someone needs me.
Yeah, and I think that probably goes back to when my parents were sick because I was constantly like aware of the fact that if there was an emergency, I needed to be able to like
be accessible. Straight away. Yeah.
But no, people call me at like 2 o'clock in the morning because they know that I don't sleep. Mm. And... it's not important. Like, they will just be genuinely calling, as you said, because it's convenient to them. I have a friend. He's actually an ex of mine, but we're, like, almost best friends. Or pretty much best friends now.
Mm.
And he and his girlfriend have parted ways, hopefully temporarily. I think they'll figure it out. But no, he's calling me at, like, mad hours to talk about this issue with him and his girlfriend. Mm. And I'm like, it's not that important. Can you wait until I wake up?
An appropriate hour, thanks.
Yeah. I say that in my head, but I answer the phone.
Yeah.
And I'll talk it through with him because I'm afraid. I don't want him to be miserable and
100%.
Sad on his own.
Mm.
I get what you're saying, but I think...
let's get over that feeling, though.
There needs to be a balance. And I think from my experience, and it's not easy when you don't have those boundaries now, but once you start enforcing it, everyone around you will actually respect it and enforce it to themselves as well.
They'd adhere to it.
But they'll also apply it to themselves.
I think it's a massive thing where if you say you're going to do something, do it.
No matter if it bugs you or whatever, because then that's when people begin to respect the words that come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And respect that, no, I mean it. When I say don't call me at this specific time.
Don't call me at this time.
I'm not going to pick up the phone.
Because you see how you shared with your friend, in your head you was thinking, so there's two things I was going to respond to. So the first thing, when you was like, you switch off your phone, people might need you. You know who those people would be that would deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is what I was saying, the way I handled it the other day, I don't think it was the best, but it was what was best for me at that time. But in reflection, what I would say is, you have maybe like 5 people, 10 people. It should really not be that much.
Cut them down.
It shouldn't be that much. It shouldn't really. Yeah. And you just message them and say, oh, you know what? I need to switch off for a bit. If you need to access me, call my... No one has house phones anymore, but message me on Twitter because I'll be active on there. Mm. Email me and I'll put my phone on. Do you get what I mean? I feel like there's ways to do... There's ways you can do
Drop
things
me a message first.
Blah, 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 blah. And then it will be fine. The other day, so when I switched off that time, the most recent time, before I switched off, I tried to reach out to one of my friends, and when I messaged her, it was like 8 a.m. in the morning, and I said to her, hi, have you got a minute? And her response was, if it's a chit chat, then no, but if it's emergency, then yes. That's very clear. That's very clear. If I was calling to chit chat, I would have said, oh, you know what, call me when you're free. But because it wasn't an emergency, I was like, nah, it's 8 in the morning, why would I be calling to chit chat? Like, just call me, man. I mean, we didn't even end up speaking because the way I know that she meant, that's actually how I think someone should respond.
No, definitely. But
because I was dealing with so much at the time, and it felt like there was a wall being put up, I just rejected it and just moved mad. But I feel like boundaries like that are important.
But I also feel like that's the other that, not to say that was your problem, but that was your problem because she gave you that option.
No, 100%, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Her response, I think, is a good example of how someone should respond with a certain boundary.
Yeah.
And also, when I found out what she was doing on that day, she was on a romantic day with babes on the beach.
Oh, please.
When she told me, I said to her,
call 999.
Yeah. It wasn't even appropriate for me to be telling you what I was going to tell her. I felt like I was strong enough to withhold that information
until
tomorrow when you've enjoyed your time with
babe. Yeah, I told you, call 999.
Do you get what I mean? No, but I feel like you have to enforce that. But I did that to her and she does it to me. So therefore, there's never ever going to be bad blood.
It's reciprocal. Yeah.
I have a question, actually. So as much as we are people that we have to pour into and be there for, how many people do you have in the reverse? Like, who is your person that you would call? Do you have a person that you would call at like 4 a.m. if you needed something?
My mum. My one rider.
Aww.
I think I struggle with, I've got a really bad like pride issue. I'm working on it. Like, my pride is ridiculous. Like,
you struggle with showing weakness?
Yeah, like it's to a fault though. Like, it's an issue. Like, it's a proper thing, like a conscious thing that I need to sort out. Like, my pride is very high. So, because I've always been that point person to people. So I always feel really, not awkward, but I always feel like if I'm that person for someone, if I show that side, how will someone now come to me type thing?
Yeah.
But no, because now it's at my expense. I need to do... And the thing is, I've got people around me that are are happy and willing, and they'll literally always get on to me. Because if I go through something, I'll go quiet, and then I get out of it, and I'll then go and tell people, oh, by the way, when I was quiet, it's because I went through A, B, C, and D. And then some of my friends, and they're like, Ripper, like, why did you not call me and say anything? Why, like, I'm... always here, like, why are you going through stuff alone, that type of vibe. But it's because I always feel like, and funny enough, those people are not the people that come to me.
That's
always really, like, I'm just like, okay, cool, maybe God's put those people in my space for being that person for me.
You know what's funny is my coworker, an Iranian woman, great woman, she said to me, she's like, you know what, Leanne, we always try to be superwoman and we try to think that we can do it all, but she was like, even if you can do it all, don't
do it,
because at some point in time people will just think that you don't need help, and you'll be flailing and drowning and nobody will come to save you,
100%,
because they'll just think that you can fix it yourself,
and you've given people that impression. And it's your doing. That's the crazy thing. It's like, that's in my control.
And it's funny because when I asked the question, I was expecting everybody to say, actually, it's true, we don't have anybody. But even for me, I have loads of people that I could call at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I just choose not to. I'd rather sit there and bawl
by myself. Literally, that is cry, me.
And then be like, okay. And then I'll talk to somebody about it after I've processed and dealt with my emotions or whatever it is.
When push comes to shove, that's when I'm like, my mom. because I know that's the one person, by force, she has to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
She has to. So that's like, okay, when I like desperately do or die, that's when I'll do it. But I actually have those people that are happy and willing to do that for me. I just choose not to pick up the phone.
And it's funny because I remember for even now, sometimes actually, when I'm like crying by myself and I'll think to myself, oh my God, I wish my mom was here because she would just make everything right. She would just fix it. But there are actually so many other people that have stepped in as surrogate moms, best friends, aunties, etc., etc., that I actually could call to lean on, and I just don't do it.
Yeah.
What about you, Shan?
Yeah.
I don't think I have a person. I feel like it used to be my mom, but I think I'm very conscious that I'm the oldest sibling, and she's got three other kids, two that are young, runs a business, is a wife. And I'm like hyper conscious of that, that I don't really like going to her anymore, because I feel like I'm adding another thing for her to do.
But I don't think you should.
No, I shouldn't. It's just something that I've...
Do you know, because funny enough, I've started to feel like that with my mum. But then she always turns around and she says, I'm your mum, not my child. You will always be my child.
Yeah.
There's one person in this world. The world might not give a damn about what happens to you. That's the one person that will care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nothing will ever be like, oh my gosh, Shan, you're burdening me. That's something my mum always says, you're not a burden. Ever.
And she doesn't make me feel like one. I think even when I was going through the other day, the person I wanted to go to was her.
Yeah.
And I knew that I could, my mom's really created a safe space for me. But the person that I could have gone to would have been her and could have been her. But I didn't know how to communicate it at that time. But I don't think I have a person, but I think I've got, I've been thinking about this a lot actually in the last few months. I've got like four people that I would say are like my best. I don't really like to use the term best friends anymore. People might let you down. but I feel like I've got four best friends. And I don't think I've ever even told them that they're my four best friends. But they're people that I can go to about absolutely anything at any time and feel safe to do that in. But so I guess collectively they're my person.
Yeah.
It depends on what I need at that point.
Okay.
So like one of my close friends, I probably wouldn't go to her to talk to her about mental health. One of my other close friends, and that same person, I probably wouldn't go to if I'm gonna cry.
Mum is a very like logical person. So like if I'm going through something, she'll be like, okay, cool. Like, do you know when you just want a moment? I just wanna cry. Like I know that I wanna get over it. I don't need your words of encouragement right now. I just want to shed tears and be okay to shed tears, and then I can think of a solution later. But she's one of those people like, okay, cool. So what we're gonna do about it? Babe, I just wanna cry. Like I just wanna shed tears. So I get it. You just want to feel how you feel without someone now coming to you with their two cents. Even though it's right, it's not what I need in this particular moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just good to ask for what you need, right?
Yeah.
So many of us, I think, are afraid to be upfront and be like, yes, I'm coming to you with a problem, but actually I don't need a resolution.
Yeah.
I just need for you to listen to me.
Yeah. I do that to you a lot. I voice note Leanne all the time, and I'll be like, and then I'll message her and be like, okay, that was just me. Feel free to not reply, but I just need to get it off my chest. Yeah.
And you know what's funny is, I was going to say is, you are literally the only person who I will always answer your call. Like other people, I'm not going to lie, and I'm sorry, I apologize, but sometimes I'll see even some of my closest friends, sometimes I'll see their number pop up and I'm just like, nah, I'm not answering this right now. But if Shan calls me or she messages me, I will always listen to it as soon as she sends it to me. Because one, I know she's going to be really clear about what she wants.
Yeah.
I know she's going to be like, I just need 5 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
Or actually, I need your time right now.
Yeah.
And I need to talk through something with
you.
And I mean, sometimes Shan will call me and then we'll just start doing our own stuff. And we'll
just
be on the phone. And I'm
just
there.
Yeah.
You just don't need, she might not need anything from me. You know what I mean? And so our friendship is, yes, it's something that we work on, but it's also something that's so not complicated because she's so upfront and transparent about pretty much everything.
And I think that's helpful with your boundaries for you, because you know exactly, it's almost like filling out a form. You'll give me exactly what you need. And I'm going
5 minutes?
Yeah, no, literally though.
About a man?
Because I know what to expect. I literally know what to expect from this. I know whether it's going to take all
and
my
I can
energy
prepare,
or not.
Yeah.
And then you can
prepare
mentally prepare.
Yourself,
and then be like, this is what I can give you and this is what I can't give you. Rather than people just calling up your phone and then now the rest of your week is ruined.
And so in the few instances when Shan will call me because it's genuinely in an emergency, it doesn't feel heavy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, Shan never calls me in this instance. Like, I have the capacity to be here.
Peak time.
I was like, in the heights.
I pulled you up in summer.
In the trenches.
Right? If I was in the church with my boots now, the mud on my eyes, yeah, I quickly am in it. I'm walking through the mud, but I'm looking at the end.
Screaming.
Yeah, help me out. Liam's in Jamaica, you know. I'm like, Liam, I'm in the mud. I need your help.
The time difference is 2 a.m. Yeah, I can talk.
It's actually that. Yeah, Leanne's one of those people. She's got a bait bedroom boy.
So he's sleeping? No.
She's like, yes, mom. No, I'm good, man. I'm good, man. I'm just my laptop.
Do you know when you ask people that? You sleeping? No, not anymore, clearly.
No.
But I also spend 95% of my time in my bed.
Yeah.
Like, we had a work retreat the other day, and they were like, you know, we had to create a user manual of how do you work? When do you work? What are your best times? And so one of the questions is, where do you work best? And I said, in my bed.
In my bed.
Right
my
here.
Bed, chilling.
And so if you see me in my bed during our meetings, this is where I'm being most productive right now.
This is my zone.
I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah. It's been a great trip,
yeah,
ladies.
It's been nice to de-stress. Like, I feel lighter.
Yeah. Sun is shining.
Yeah.
I feel good about going back to London.
I mean, not that.
But that was strange.
That's a good too far. That was stay. But fine.
Thanks, Airbnb, for this amazing trip.
Shout out to you people.
This is great. We'll do more whenever you're ready.
Next week?
We're going to email you as of now.
No, it's been a great partnership with Airbnb. Yeah. And we have been, and it's nice to see a brand that is genuinely interested and invested mm-hmm. in Black women experiencing 100%. Something other than the norm, you know?
Yeah, and championing that and being like the driving force to be like, no, we want you guys to do it rather than us approaching and trying to convince people.
Yeah they've actually
really nice. Been
they've,
really like
yeah.
eager to, yeah, they've just been like, guys, so.
Yeah, even the idea about relocating, if we were choosing this ourselves, I probably would have chose somewhere like local.
Barking.
I would have chosen something
just
else.
Just that apartment upstairs. Just a different apartment.
I would have chosen something else. I can't be a takeaway.
I cannot. Guys, there's no delivery route out here.
There's no delivery
route. That don't exist.
There's just Jennings.
There's barely Just Eat.
But look, we went to an Italian restaurant.
We had
fresh made ice cream.
We did.
Yeah, it was nice.
We went walking through the cobblestone streets.
Yeah.
Is that what you call them, cobblestone?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
I thought I was just agreeing. Vibes.
Them narrow roads.
Yeah.
Well, Shan was honking up the place. She nearly killed me, you know.
Shan was saying hi to all the white people that we passed. She was like, hey,
No, Shan was doing spot the black person.
God, let them know we here, baby. I was wearing my dope black woman jumper every day. They can see me around.
So we're here.
No, yeah. It's been a great weekend.
Definitely has. Let's do it again, guys.
Yeah. It makes me look forward to the dope black woman retreat whenever we get that sorted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, we're putting it into the atmosphere now.
Yeah.
This is the manifestation.
It's in the air. It's in the air.
By this time next year, hopefully, by God's grace.
Yeah, good winning.
So thanks so much for listening, everyone. Make sure you subscribe, listen, share. We are Dope Black Woman on Facebook and Twitter, and Dope Black Woman 1 on Instagram. We will be back with you next week. Until then, stay blessed and unapologetically black.
All the way black.
Blackity black.
Blacktastic.
There, listener, do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster, you just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with friends, have an urge to share your passion with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.